This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. And this story is about the legacy of a man named Julius Block. He was a businessman who was born in 1858 in what is now South Africa. He was raised in St. Petersburg, Russia. He studied piano. He traveled widely. He met many of the best classical musicians of his day. And most important for our purposes, he recorded them. This is the pianist Paul Pabst playing Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty. Pabst studied at one point with Franz Liszt. He performed Rachmaninoff's Suite for Two Pianos with the young Rachmaninoff. This recording was made on a wax cylinder in Moscow in 1895. I confess that I had never heard of Paul Pabst. And that's what's so remarkable about the new 3-CD box set this is from. It's called The Dawn of Recording, the Julius Block Cylinders. Until recorded sound, we had only the adjectives of others to tell us what musicians sounded like. The recordings that Julius Block made, starting in 1889, push back our ability to hear and appreciate reproductions of older performances, albeit in low fidelity by today's standards. And this track is one of the clearer of the older recordings. People knew that Julius Block had made these cylinder recordings, but they were given up for lost. They were discovered thanks to John Anthony Maltese, who joins us now. And we should say, Professor Maltese, that your day job is as a government professor at the University of Georgia, but this project has nothing to do with that.
That's correct. This is what I do on my off time.
You go sleuthing for missing 100-year-old recordings.
That's right.
Tell us the story of how you found these and why you were looking for them.
Well, this was basically a 30-year quest that my father and I were on. We met one of the violinists that recorded on these cylinders in 1971, a great American violinist named Eddie Brown. He was a student at the St. Petersburg Conservatory in the class of the great violinist Leopold Auer, and one of the fellow students there was Yasha Heifetz. And he told us this fascinating story of making homemade recordings at a man's home in Berlin around 1914. And he told us at the time that Yasha Heifetz also made recordings in 1912, just after his sensational debut with the Berlin Philharmonic and Arthur Nikisch. And so we were absolutely taken with this story and searched for them for as I say, about 30 years.
Ultimately, what you found, well, it included this bit of the 11-year-old Yasha Heifetz, who went on to be, I suppose, the preeminent violinist of the 20th century. This is Heifetz at 11 in 1912, being recorded just outside Berlin, Grunewald, Germany. We should say that unlike many of the other people recorded on these, Heifetz survived to be recorded on LPs and even better than that.
That's correct. Finished.
Where were they? Where were all these all this time?
These cylinders were in a little archive in St. Petersburg, Russia, in the Institute of Russian Literature, which is better known as the Pushkin House. And it's this amazing lost and found story. Julius Block, who recorded these cylinders, wanted to preserve them. And he went to great efforts to make sure that his collection was divided between a museum in Berlin, another museum in Warsaw, and his personal papers went to Switzerland. And during the Second World War, everyone thought that these cylinders in Berlin were destroyed. But it turns out that they had been evacuated to Silesia in 1944, and then after the war, they had been taken by the Russians to St. Petersburg, and people forgot about these cylinders and just assumed that they had been lost during the war.
But your inquiry actually turned them up.
That's correct. It was, one of a whole series of serendipitous encounters. There was this first encounter in 1971 with Eddie Brown, and then in 2001, on the 100th anniversary of Yasha Heifetz's birth, we were put in touch with a woman in St. Petersburg who was writing a book about Heifetz's boyhood years. And we began an email correspondence with her. And in one of our email exchanges, I happened to mention this story that Eddie Brown had told us about Heifetz making these recordings. And I said, unfortunately, they no longer exist. And she emailed back and she said, well, I think they exist at an archive down the street from me. And it was just miraculous. You know, usually searches for Holy Grails, you don't discover it. And this time we did.
Now, I want to ask you about these recordings. As we listen to what I know is one of your favorites, this is from the trio, written and in this case performed by the pianist Anton Arensky. This is a recording from 1894, and this is the second movement from. Now, it's a wax cylinder that's been put on CD. Is the quality of this recording, is the fidelity of this recording high enough for people to be able to hear and learn things about the way that Arensky played piano?
Absolutely. You know, it takes some practice. The average person who's used to stereophonic recordings will find this pretty primitive. But you have an awful lot here. You learn about the performance practice in the late 1800s. You hear some remarkable playing, not only by Arensky, but by the cellist Anatoly Brondukov and Jan Rimley, who was the violinist. And these are the only known recordings of Arensky performing his own trio in the year of its composition, a really almost over-the-top performance that's just amazing. You know, anyone interested in performing this trio should hear how the composer himself played it.
Do we assume that when Bloch first made these recordings that they sounded much like this, or have they lost a lot of fidelity with each playing?
They didn't sound much better, but it's remarkable that this man, who was basically a Russian importer, he imported, introduced the escalator and the elevator and the cotton gin to Russia, had the foresight to make these recordings. He had read about the phonograph, was determined to go and meet Thomas Edison. So he went and visited Edison in 1889 and came back with the machine. And with a flair for publicity, he got an audience with Tsar Alexander III and demonstrated it to him, demonstrated it to Tolstoy, who speaks on these cylinders, Tchaikovsky, who speaks on these cylinders. And he had public demonstrations of this. It must have been just an amazing thing to hear this device for the first time.
Well, John Anthony Maltese, thank you very much for talking with us about the Julius Bloch cylinders, which are the basis of the 3-CD box set, The Dawn of Recording.
Thank you.
And we go out on a recording from 1914 of violinist Eddie Brown, accompanied on piano by Julius Bloch. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.